be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they were filled with fear and fell prostrate. But Jesus touched them, saying, Arise, fear not. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. If you ever have opportunity to visit the Holy Land, one of the disconcerting realities is that all of the different shrines in the Holy Land, like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the Church of the Holy Family in Nazareth, are owned by different groups, different religious denominations, and they are incredibly, incredibly territorial about their ownership. Part of them are owned by the Roman Catholics, who are called the Latins, and Franciscans have always administered that area. Part is owned by the Greek and Russian Orthodox, and then there are a number of religious Christian denominations with whom we're not familiar, the Melkites, the Chaldeans, etc., and each of them own a specific area. To show you how territorial they are, each night when they lock the door of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, it's an enormously big wooden door, probably about that thick, and the key is a great big black ceremonial key. And a Latin, a Roman Catholic, puts the key in the hole, he steps back, and a Russian Orthodox steps forward and he turns the key, then he steps back, and a Chaldean steps forward and he turns the key back. He steps back and a Melkite comes forward and he removes the key and places it back in the box so that it will be there the next morning. And God forbid that any one of them would overstep their territory. In the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, it's a very nondescript building built in the 4th century. But up beside the altar is a spiral staircase. And you go down there, and you're on the side of the mountain, and right in front of you is a cave, and that is revered as the birthplace of Jesus. In the floor in front of the cave is a large silver star, probably about that large, and inscribed in it is Hic Natus Est Jesu Christi of Virgo Maria. Here was born Jesus Christ of the Virgin Mary. Now, when the Franciscans put that star in the floor in 1853, the Orthodox went to the Tsar of Russia and said that the Latins are taking the Church of the Nativity away from us. And so the Tsar sent word that if they did not remove the star, he would send troops to occupy the church and give it to the Orthodox. So the Latins, not to be outdone, went to Napoleon and said the Orthodox are taking away the Church of the Nativity. And so the Crimean War was fought from 1853 to 1857, and 40,000 lives were lost over a stupid religious symbol. Once more, we're going to slaughter one another in the name of God. That's how disconcerting all of those sacred shrines become. One time when I was there, we decided to go to the top of Mount Horeb, which is where today's gospel the Transfiguration occurred. There's a parking lot at the foot of the mountain, and you get a taxi. And the road going up the mountain is this windy road along the edge of the mountain, and they go 50, 60 miles an hour, and you make the most sincere act of contrition you've ever made in your life, because you know darn well you're never going to get to the top until you meet your creator. You finally get up there, and there's another parking lot with taxis waiting to take people down. And then ahead of you is an ancient Roman arch. There was a Roman colony up there 2 centuries before the birth of Christ. And when you go in the arch, you're in a broad avenue, probably half as wide as this church, and it's 2,000-year-old cobblestones. On either side, there are pillars and ruins and archways and walls of the ancient Roman settlement. And as you continue walking, you suddenly come across small monasteries where the Latins, the Orthodox, the Melkites, the Chaldeans, all of them live. At the end of that avenue is the Church of the Transfiguration. Very strange building. It was only built in the 1920s, and it's sort of built on the edge of the mountain. And so when you go in the door, each level of what would be like pews for us, but our various places where people stand, each one is a step down and down and down. And finally you get to the floor level, and in front of you is an archway with a large rock where supposedly this transfiguration took place. And above the archway is a bridge, and on top of that is the altar. It would almost be if we came in here and turned around and Mass were celebrated up in the choir loft. On the back side of it is a wide porch. And that time when we were there, we went out, it was evening. The sun was just beginning to set over the Sea of Galilee. And it was absolutely silent up there. All you could hear were the birds, the wind whistling in the leaves. And it was an incredibly prayerful moment. And I thought, oh my God, this is where these things happened. And I'm privileged to be here. We then started back to get a taxi to go down, and as we were walking down, we encountered a Franciscan monk. He happened to be an American. He was from New Jersey, outgoing, gregarious, vivacious guy, and he was telling us that his assignment up there was for 2 years, and it would end in 2 more months, and he said he couldn't wait to get out of there. Because he said he's been on top of the mountain for 2 years, he's not allowed to go down, they bring his supplies up to him, and he said, I've never been so lonely in my entire life. I said to him, well, Franciscans never live alone, and he said, oh no, there's always another Franciscan or two, but they're making a retreat, a silent retreat, and so I have nobody to talk to. I noticed in a garden across the way, there was an Orthodox monk in his black cassock and that black headpiece that they wear, and he was sort of pruning some rose bushes. And I said to the Franciscan, well, do you guys ever get together for prayer or for meals? And this gregarious, outgoing Franciscan from New Jersey's whole facial expression turned. And he said to me, who? And I pointed to the Orthodox monk. And he said, oh, him. I've never met them. What fools. There they are in a place made sacred by the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and they miss the whole thing. They can't even look their neighbor in the eye and see Jesus Christ because they're so caught up in silly, silly religion. Read this gospel. Peter misses the whole point. And the minute he sees the transfiguration, typical of Peter, he opens his mouth, puts his foot in, and says, oh my gosh, we're going to build some great shrines here, et cetera, et cetera. And we're told in the gospel, finally, the voice of God himself interrupts him and tells him, this is my beloved son. Peter missed it. Those silly monks miss it. Don't you and I ever risk missing seeing Jesus Christ around us because he's everywhere in our world. Look in the eyes of an infant, open with wonder at the world they're seeing. You'll see Jesus Christ. Look at a young couple ready to commit themselves for life. Look at an old couple holding hands and their eyes filled with fear because one of them has just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And they know that everything they've worked for all their lives is going to come shattering apart, and they're scared to death. Look in their eyes and you'll see Jesus Christ. Look in the eyes of a homeless person and you'll see Jesus Christ pleading for mercy. Don't risk being like those foolish monks or like Peter. Jesus Christ is everywhere around us. All we have to do is look. Amen.